This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Do you want to be a Washington Redskin?
that has been the question, right? And that's what we talked about last summer in July. And the short answer is yes. I mean, the short answer is... I just feel that it's been a very positive 6 years. Obviously, we don't have Super Bowl rings to show for it. We don't have playoff wins, but it's a privilege to play here. I felt that for all six seasons, and I'd be foolish to say, you know, I don't want to be here. I mean, it is truly a dream come true and a privilege to be here. Now, obviously, it's not that simple or that easy, and we have time to figure all that out and work through all the circumstances that have to take place to feel really good about that. But I do feel the short answer is yes, and then let's work through it.
So last year you said you needed time to evaluate. There were a lot of changes being made, offensive coordinator out, receivers lost. What did your evaluation tell you? Do you still need more time, or are you willing now to sign a long-term deal?
Well, you know, in the summer I had said, you know, Sean McVay was really... I mean, it was his offense, and he was running the show. He was calling the plays. He was game planning, and he took input from other people, but it was his baby. And so with him gone, I felt like that left a bit of an unknown. Obviously, at the receiver position, we had 2,000-yard receivers. With them gone, I felt like it left a little bit of an unknown. And so those were a couple of the pieces that I felt I wanted to, you know, allow 16 games to show me what that looked like. And I do think that when you, and we're going to probably say the word injuries a few times in the next hour, but with some of the injuries we had on offense, and then you still look at the production in the passing game, what was able to take place, I think that reflects really well on our coaching staff, not just on Coach Gruden, obviously the play caller, but on the entire staff, you know, coaching the individual players who showed up and had little time to prepare and creating a game plan and play calls in different situations. I think that reflects well on them. And then, the receiver position, you know, I do think it's still a work in progress. You know, I think we have some guys who are going to be free agents, and like we did last year. And, you know, Terrell Pryor got hurt. Really, the injury goes back to, I believe, week two. So, you know, that wasn't the season we had hoped for, partly because of that injury. And Josh Doctson kind of came into a role as the year went on. So it's still evolving, but I do feel good about, you know, that position and the guys who contributed and the way they work day in and day out. And, you know, those were a couple of the unknowns that I feel, you know, did a good job as the year went on.
So do you feel better about being a Redskin for the long term than you did before this season started?
Well, yeah, and I think it goes back to, we talked about this on Tuesday, I believe, on the radio show, that yes, we went 7-9. I understand that, and it's about results. But I do feel like we're closer to the teams that go to Super Bowls, contend for Super Bowls, go to the playoffs. I feel like we're closer to that than we were in 2015 when we did go to the playoffs. But when we went up against Carolina, I mean, they took it to us. And it just didn't feel like we were right there. And when I watched the Broncos and the Panthers in the Super Bowl, I didn't sit there saying, you know, we're right there. I mean, we are a play away. But I sat at so many games this year, I sat on the flight home from so many games this year saying, man, you know, we were right there. We're going against good football teams, and we're either beating them or – we should have beat them, if you will. And it sounds a little immature to say that. We should have, could have, would have. But I do believe in how close we are. But there's so many other factors that affect your final record and how the season ends up.
Kirk, you said moments ago that, yes, you would like to be here. And last year you spoke to us, another data point. You said you weren't at peace with, you know, the situation, the offer, the evaluation, et cetera. What would it take for you to be at peace? Not just some sort of tag where you don't have a choice, but I'm talking here, this is your home. You are a Washington Redskin for the long term. What would it take for you to be at peace?
Well, you know, for so long, there was a little bit of a, I used the line, I want to be where I'm wanted. And that was true. And that narrative kind of carried that, you know, do the Redskins want him? Are they all in? And I would argue that the first year on the franchise tag, I do think there was a need for them to sort of buy insurance and kind of make sure they were getting the right thing and they weren't being a little too aggressive. And I understand that, and that was my agent's message to me and to the team that first year was, we totally understand that. I mean, it was really a nine-game stretch the second half of 2015, so if you need more time, we're okay with that. Felt like that was what was needed. But then after that, from day one of last offseason, I felt like it was total belief from the Redskins, and, you know, we want you here, and I felt wanted. So I've never since then felt a need, you know, to prove it to them or that they're doubting me. I think that narrative carried, but it wasn't really true. I think they were all in last summer. It's just we felt like we wanted to take a little more time, which we just talked about, and that allowed that narrative to persist when it probably wasn't there. So I feel peace about, you know, their belief in me and you know, where they're going forward from here.
A couple of things, and I want to get back to a moment ago, Kirk Cousins here on Grant and Danny. What you just said, but you mentioned Jay Gruden a minute ago. Jay Gruden was asked to assess your performance a couple of days ago. I'm sure by now you've heard what he said. It wasn't a glowing endorsement by any means. Do you agree with what he said? Did you have a problem with what he said?
Great question. You know, I would say that the final game of the year, I did not play well. I'll be the first one to say that. It may have been my worst game here in my 6 years. And there have been some bad ones, but it was probably my worst one. So when you're coming 2 days off of that game, I can understand how that could influence your assessment to some degree. But what I gathered from the comment was 7-9 and the quarterback play are, you know, causally related, and that it's quarterback play is 7-9, 7-9 is the quarterback play. And you know, I saw that and I thought, I think it's slightly more complicated than that. You know, I think there's a few more dynamics in play as to what your final record is. So I guess that would be the where I would say, I don't know about that. But at the same time, you know, his job is to evaluate. That's a big part of his role, his position. And in that comment, he's just doing his job. He's evaluating the position and he has a right to say what he wants to say. I mean, that's his job.
Were you surprised, though, that he said that?
I guess I wasn't surprised in light of the final game. You know, being 48 hours removed from such a poor game, I could understand the context. But I think, again, I guess I was surprised by the direct causation between this is our record, this is our quarterback play, it is what it is, was, you know, and I'm not just paraphrasing, but I guess that was where I was kind of surprised.
Where has your relationship from when you first met Jay evolved to right now, and where do you think it's going to go? Give us kind of the state of the union and what you think the future holds for you and Jay.
Well, as I told him at my exit meeting the day after the last game, after apologizing for the previous day's performance, I told him, you know, I really believe in your play calling ability, your game planning, and it showed when 2,000-yard receivers left. You know, you were able to create production in the passing game one way or another. And then as injuries piled up, you were able to still create production in the passing game. And I think that says a lot about you. I think that says a lot about the staff you've assembled. And I also really believe in his ability to evaluate players. I've over the years I've been with him, just seen him continually assess players' abilities correctly. And at times with a surprising take that you might not expect, but then when he explains more of where he's coming from, you say, you know, you're right, that's a great point, and I never thought of that. And I think he's been around the game long enough and understands football well enough that where I really trust his evaluation, and he works really hard at it, too.
Does Jay like you as much as Kyle and Sean did? I think that's an important question.
Yeah,
I'm honest.
You'd have to ask him. You know, I've never asked him that. You know, I didn't sit there at the exit interview and lean back
right.
and say, how much do you like me?
Yeah. Maybe you should have.
But
check yes or no. You know?
Well, I do want to preface it by saying it's not his job to like me. You know, he doesn't have to, and I don't know that.
Let me rephrase it. Do you think he thinks as highly of you as a quarterback as those two guys?
Well, I think it would be hard to think as highly of me as those two do because at times they thought higher of me than I thought of me. You know, so they really had a unique perspective. But you know, I do believe that Jay believes in me well, and you know, I think he's given me a great opportunity, and I feel very fortunate. And I think with what came out today with, you know, Belichick and Brady, I don't know that Belichick's always been singing Tom's praises, you know, day in and day out for 15 years, even though Tom probably deserves it with all that he's done. So it's just different personalities and different people. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, I don't get too caught up in that.
Another key player in this is Bruce Allen in the front office. What is your relationship like with Bruce, and how has that changed over the years? They're saying Bruce for the record.
Yeah, there they're Brucing. They're not booing.
They're just saying Bruce.
My relationship with him has always been positive. You know, he's got a job to do, and like any fan here, he's trying to make sure the salary cap is as properly allocated as it should be. And that is a really tough job, and you're never going to be perfect at it. But you know, he's very savvy. He's been around the league a long time, and you know, we've had a great relationship. He's always, you know, said my door's open. Come talk to me anytime. And, you know, it's been good. You know, a lot of these people in the front office, I didn't really talk to them or relate to them a lot my first few years. I mean, I'm a backup, and I'm a young player and figuring things out. And so it's just been the last couple of years where I've been able to have those conversations a little more often and get to know them. And so it's something that is a little new for me in the last couple of years.
Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny will be taking audience questions from some of the participants here today who came out and are benefiting charity with their presence and buying their tickets. Last year, you didn't negotiate with the team. Do you plan on negotiating with the team this year? If they make you an offer, will you go back and forth?
Well, I think didn't negotiate, it depends how you define that. Was there a formal offer that we sent? I don't think we did last year, but there's still conversation, and there's always conversation. And I would argue that is negotiating. You're getting a pretty good understanding of either side. And you know, I was on my phone quite a bit, to my wife's chagrin, last offseason, with my agent, you know, trying to learn and get an understanding of how things were taking place. So there were conversations, and I expect there to be this offseason as well. And as we get closer to March, and that'll certainly take place.
But you've talked on the show before about when they made the offer last year, you guys didn't respond. Go into why that was. I think that's something fans bring up on the show a lot. Maybe your logic, your reasoning in that. And will you approach it similarly this offseason?
The logic for not bringing...
when they made the offer, I mean, did you feel like their offer... I mean, it wasn't market value. Was it fair? Was it not? Why didn't you respond?
Yeah, I remember, you know, they... when the franchise tag deadline passed in July, and then the statement came out that, you know, the team offered us, you know, quite a bit, and we turned it down... there was some backlash saying, well, that wasn't a very good offer. Actually, the truth is, my agent called when we received that offer and said, Kirk, this is an offer that makes it very clear they want you. And for whatever's been done in the past, this is a starting point to get something done, but do you want to do that? But they've made it very clear they're ready to go. And you don't just start at, you know, where you're going to end up. You start at a place that sends a message, we're ready to go there. And that's what that offer did. And so that was why Bruce was trying to say, you know, look, we put the green light out there, but then he said no thanks. So and that was our approach. And why did we do that? You know, for all the reasons we've said, you know, I wanted a lot more time to pass. I felt like I have waited quite a bit, really since 2007 when I was being recruited to play college football was the last time I had a choice in where I played. And it was the last time I could really go through a process and interview people and get an understanding and then make a decision. And so I thought, I've waited 9-10 years at this point. I'm willing to wait another season to see and be as informed as possible in making this decision that may not come around the rest of my career.
You mentioned wanting to slow things down and be patient, which is a reasonable approach. But it's hard, I think, for a lot of Redskins fans, I think myself included. This organization needs to really demonstrate that. So the instant the final clock goes to zero, the next day I probably have something in front of you to say, hey, we really want you. We're desperate. Let's figure this out. Let's get this done. So far, it doesn't seem that that's been the case. Update us on conversations that have already been had. And to me, is the urgency there from them?
I believe it is. I'm sure they're respecting some of the comments I've already made publicly about, you know, I need to catch my breath. I need to get away. I would like to take some time, and I'm in no hurry. The first game is next September, so we got time. That being said, you know, I do believe they're ready to go, and I'm sure to some degree between now and mid-March, it's going to come down to Mike McCartney and myself, you know, kind of deciding what we're comfortable with up until that point. But I do believe the Redskins are ready to go. And I want to go back to the fact that there was a narrative that they weren't. I think it was a long time ago when that switched. And maybe that hasn't caught up publicly, but I do believe they're all in. They're 2 feet in. They're good to go, and I felt that for a long time. And I don't think anything like that has changed going into this offseason.
They may have changed their opinion now, I guess, on being ready to pay you or maybe feeling, it sounds like you think, like they want you. But one thing that hasn't necessarily changed for me is kind of how they've handled the situation. I go back to, I think it was July 17th last year. Bruce Allen called a really weird press conference with like a hand few selected reporters. And he read from this transcript or something where basically he talked about the money they offered you, that they would have made you, and it was kind of misleading for the record, but the third highest paid player based on these things. You're a nicer guy than I am. We've covered that. I wouldn't have liked that very much.
Me too.
I mean, you have very privately negotiated. Even here today, you're kind of saying things that they're high-fiving about, probably at Redskins Park. They didn't do it that way. Do you feel like at any point in this process anything has happened that has slighted you? Like, what did you think of Bruce doing that? And some of the things that have happened where on the outside we go, if I'm Kirk, I don't want to be here that much because they just did that.
Well, a couple of days before he put that out there, he communicated to me. We met face to face, and he said, I'm gonna have to make it clear that we tried. And I said, I understand that 100%. I'm going to go on a radio show, and make it clear that you tried as well. So it didn't blindside me that they did that. He made it clear that they were going to have to do that. But in that meeting face to face, I had my dad come with me just to help kind of communicate on my behalf if I was missing anything. And we both made it very clear, at this point, at this juncture, it's just not about the money. Like, the money is not the driving factor in this decision to go another 16 games. It's just not what I've built my life on. That's not what it's about. And shame on me if I feel like just a contract is going to solve all my problems. I mean, that is broken thinking. And that's going to lead to a dysfunctional life. And so I just made that clear. And so then when the statement came out, it was pretty much about the money. And I just said, it's not really what's doing it. Is it important, like we've talked about, to take advantage of a great opportunity and not just roll over and die? Yeah, but to say that that's the end-all, be-all, for me, it's just not what my family or I have built my life on.
So, obviously, I think your perspective on that is admirable. You saw that's why people clapped. But money is a way to show that affection, to show that love, to show that commitment. That's kind of how it translates, especially for guys in your industry. And I wonder when you feel that switched, because remember, there, as you said, reasonable process to say we'd like to see more. We've had so many Nick Foles situations where 9 games happen. We want to make sure before we're renting before we buy. When did that change for you that you felt that commitment from them? Was there a moment in time? Was it a conversation? Could you go into that?
Yeah, I think it was last off season for sure. That whole process through last off season, and I would even go up even higher than Bruce Allen. Mr. Snyder has been phenomenal, just communicating that all the way through. But, this is what was unique is the franchise tag happened, and we made it clear the first time that if you need to take more time, we understand that. That being said, if it gets past that, then we need more time, and we're okay waiting at that point. And so that was kind of the juncture of the transition that took place from the first year to the second year was – you needed more time, but now the ball kind of shifts to our court a little bit in that sense.
Let's take money out of it. What else does matter? I mean, you've talked a lot about your faith, wanting to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And you also talked about being at peace, just kind of going to work every day.
Yes.
Do you feel good about Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen being your bosses for the next 6 years at this point?
Yeah, it all comes down to winning. And we have to win. If we win, everybody will feel good. If we lose, all the other things just don't really matter. So winning is what matters to me. And then I think, feeling at peace about where I go. I go back to my recruiting decision in college. I was not a high-level recruit, and I visited only 2 schools that offered me. It was December of my senior year, and it was on Christmas break. And I had 2 scholarships to Western Michigan or Toledo, and I visited both schools. And being on the campus and going around for the day and meeting with the coaches and the different academic people, I just left not feeling a peace about being there. And I went to Michigan State shortly after Christmas break without a scholarship offer. And I just said to my dad driving home, I said, I can see myself being here. I just can see it. Now, they haven't offered me yet, but if they do, I feel a peace about being here. And I do believe the Lord gives you that to help make decisions. And so, you know, that's something I'm going to look for in the decision-making process is where do I feel a peace? And last summer, I didn't feel a peace about committing past this season. So that'll certainly be a big guide for me as I go through it.
And you're deciding, I guess, now whether you're at peace at this moment.
Absolutely. You know, I'm trying to figure that out, and that's why I'm going to slow the process down and allow a couple months to help discern that. And this is a unique opportunity. I may only get to do this once in my career. I haven't been able to do it in 11 years, so I am going to maximize it and try to get all of it I can.
When you say that, you mean basically not necessarily testing the market, but seeing what's out there,
yeah,
weighing your options.
Be very diligent, very thorough, as I would be in anything else I do in life. Just really be diligent and thorough as I go through it rather than rush to something just to get it done, especially when there's plenty of time anyways.
We're speaking, and Kirk Cousins is with us here live at Jam and Java, raising money for the D.C. Dream Center. Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. We're talking now among the scenarios of what it would take for you to be here, of course. There is a realistic scenario, Kirk, where you're not here anymore. That can happen, we're speaking about that, so let's get that on the table. Kind of what have you studied and seen that may be out there? And B, when you talk about a new landing spot, what are those kind of factors? It's easy to say winning, but it's tougher to see sometimes the personnel that are there, what may be there down the line, et cetera, building around something. What else is out there?
Yeah, because first of all, it's a moving target. I think a lot of these teams haven't hired their staffs or even on winning teams, they're firing staff members and bringing people in. So, and I've learned firsthand how that can change quite drastically each season, within even the Redskins. So it's a moving target right now. It's hard to understand where it's going to go. But I do think that, as that picture clarifies, then you try to gather those facts and learn about other teams and what they're doing, what they're bringing to the table. But, that's something that is still kind of in process and is probably several weeks, if not a month away from being solidified.
Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. I think we can start at this point to get people lined up if they've got questions for Kirk. So the microphone is here, and we're going to probably start next segment with some of the questions. Darius, raise your hand. He's going to be monitoring the microphone and helping you out. So if you have a question, it's kind of going to be by first come, first serve basis. If you want to ask a question at the microphone, and the coolest thing I think about this, Kirk, is you didn't give us any restrictions. You didn't say there's nothing you don't want to talk about. So I thought that was not only the right way to go about it from you, but I thought it was a pretty classy and cool thing. So the mic is there if you guys want to participate and ask some questions. I want to get into the salary cap part of this. We talk on the show all the time, and as someone who analyzes football, so much of our discussion comes back to the percentage of the cap you can allocate to a quarterback. And you said earlier about Bruce Allen, that he is trying to determine how he can build a roster and still pay you. Do you believe that the more you make, the harder it is to win, surrounding you with the pieces necessary, philosophically?
I think it's so much more complicated than that. I look at a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, who seemingly, from what I understand, and I'm willing to be wrong, but from what I understand, they've paid the quarterback, the running back, the receiver, the right guard, the center, the left tackle, and they have a top five defense in the NFL. So
I think over 60% of their cap goes to the guys you just mentioned.
Yeah, so they have kind of gone all in on a few people, but not at the expense of the rest of the team or the other units. They're still effective with the guys who aren't commanding 60% of the cap. So I think that's where you see it can be done, and that's why the draft is so important. That's why the free agent signings that don't come in the first week of March but come 2 or 3 weeks later can be so important. That's why when you have 20 guys go on IR, there's other variables that are really important. And does the allocation of the cap impact it? Yes. Are there several other things that impact winning far ahead of that? Yes, and I'm well aware of that, and I've talked about how winning is really important to me, the most important thing, really, at this juncture in my career. So I understand that. I'm not going to just go to a place where I know I'm going to lose, but, boy, I'm getting paid well. It's like, come on, you know, there's a in the middle lies virtue in anything. Okay, life is about balance. Okay, you don't want to live out of whack over here, out of whack over here. I want to win and be well compensated. And I think there's a balance to find, and it doesn't have to be one extreme or the other.
But it's fair to say you can make the money that some of the top quarterbacks make, and in your opinion, you still can build that defense and get what you need elsewhere.
I think when you watch the playoffs, it seems like that is true of winning teams year in and year out, and I think the evidence is there in the league itself.
Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny. We're just getting underway. This is just the start of our afternoon with Kirk. We will get to some audience questions next. We're live at Jam and Java. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Jammin' Java, live in Vienna. Grant and Danny on the road. We are joined by Redskins quarterback Kirk Cousins. We're going to be taking some audience questions. Packed house, raising money for charity. Pretty crazy turnout here, Kirk. This is impressive.
It's once again, one more piece of evidence about this fan base, their passion for this team, their desire to see it succeed, the way wins and losses affect, you know, them and their weeks and their days. And it's just a great sight to see and a great motivation for us as we head into the offseason to want to build something special going forward.
Let's get some questions in, and we'll kind of weave in and out with some of the things that we still want to cover as well. So when we get to you, just give us your name and your question, your comment for Kirk.
Hi, I'm Joe in Springfield, Virginia. You've had 11 game-winning drives for us, including the game-winning drive against the Seahawks in Seattle. Where would that game-winning drive rank among the best you've done for us?
That's a great question, Joe. I'll probably be saying great question a lot as we go on the line, but it is. I'm going to give it its due. I felt like the Seattle win may have been the highlight of the season. I'm sure there were some other ones that I'm forgetting about, but how challenging that day was between the weather, the injuries, there's the I word again, just the environment you play in there, very few people go in there with a win, and to just find a way, one way or another, to come out with a victory, that ranks for me as one of the top moments of 2017. That celebration in that locker room post game was special, and it's why you work, and it's why you do what you do. And I would put that as the top one. And there have probably been other game winning drives I'm forgetting about, but that one was special because of the adversity that we faced.
Along those lines, your favorite or best performance that you think you played as a Redskin, and your worst game?
The worst one was pretty recent, because like. And this is nice because we got more time. I can kind of flesh that out. Like, I threw 4 interceptions against the Giants on a Thursday night in 2014. You know, it's hard to forget that. But I've always said, you know, when you get down by a few touchdowns because you threw 1 or 2, you have a choice to make. Either you can throw checkdowns and get out of there with 2 interceptions, or you can try to get back in the game. You're probably going to lose anyways. You throw a couple more, who cares? At least I'm trying. So I've always said, you know... you can look at stat lines, but when I say people who know, because they look at the game being the score is, you know, 35-7, and he's still out there slinging it, trying to find a way. So my point is some of those 4 interception games are a little worse than others, and I would argue that the one on Thursday night in 2014, I didn't really worry about that as much as this last game. I felt like wasn't very good for a lot of reasons, but that was my worst. My best, you know, you got to factor in all the different variables. I felt like... the win against Green Bay on Sunday night with the wind, and Green Bay proved to be, went to the NFC Championship game. There was a narrative, again, that we weren't playing well in primetime. We showed up, played well in primetime, got a great win. And I felt like that was a big night for our whole team.
Let's get to the next question.
Go ahead.
Hi, Kirk. My name is Sandeep Gadra. I'm from Ashburn, Virginia. First of all, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for bringing a sense of competency, honesty, and integrity to the Redskins organization.
Thanks for saying that.
Well said.
Thank you.
So my question is this. As you look into your future and you look at your prospective employers, so to speak, I'm sure there are lots of factors that you'll look into. You'll look into your upper management, which maybe the Redskins don't get a very good grade at. But I hope that you'll also look at the fan base. So my question is, when you weigh these factors,
yes,
how big does having a good fan base with a you know, long tradition weigh into your decision-making process?
Great question.
Great question.
It does weigh in. It does weigh in. Really, the number one factor that you know, I've talked about winning, but really the next big factor is my teammates. That would be the hardest thing for me if I had to move on or moved on, would be saying goodbye to the guys I've played with, because they mean so much to me. They're such good people, and life is really all about relationships, and so that would be very difficult. And you know, my marketing agents even explained to me, like, you know, Kirk, Washington's a pretty special place, pretty special city, team, the history. You know, not every team's going to provide that, and if you do move on, you can expect that, you know, you're going to feel that. You know, you're going to notice that. So you're going to go on the road, and you're not going to see your home team's, you know, jerseys in the stands like you do when you play for the Redskins. So that is a benefit that not all 32 teams bring to the table, that does set Washington apart. And then I've seen that when we get on a roll and we start winning, it takes it to a whole nother level that, frankly, we haven't seen enough here. But it's our own fault. And when we get to that, because, you know, the goal would be, if I'm coming back, like, I'm coming back because I think we're going to be able to do that. And if we get to that, that's when it's really special. And I've seen it. I've seen glimpses, you know, playoff games, a couple of primetime games where we're on a run. And if we can get it there week in and week out, that's when it's really special. And you start to get chills at kickoff with how electric the atmosphere is in FedEx Field.
Do you anticipate negotiating to the point where maybe you could get a deal done ahead of the March 15th or whenever that date is tag, or are you going to wait till that tag date?
I see us taking our time. I see
waiting
us waiting. Yeah, I see us waiting and being patient. Hard to say right now, but you know, I do see us taking our time.
Is part of that that you do want to see what other options are out there because you haven't had the chance to do it? As you pointed out, you didn't get to do that since Michigan State, so that must be important to you.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the desire to gather all the facts. I may only do this one time, and you know, let's take our time and be thrilled about it.
And I know you don't want to be LeBron James, basically picking your coach and teammates and general manager and front office guys and everything else. But at this time, you know, think about it. You're in a unique position, as you kind of alluded to. Is there any desire for input, saying, "Hey, you know what we could really use it, ... You know,
right.
How any of that in the decision making?
You know, that's a balance you walk, because to their credit, everyone has made themselves available to listen. I'm just hesitant to say too much, partly because I would be the first one to say I don't know a lot about certain things, so I'm not going to try to act like I do. But I also don't think it's my job. I think it's my job to show up and play quarterback, make good decisions with the football, manage the game well, lead. But you know, there are people who are full-time jobs whose job is to you know, the scouting and the cap and all that. So I'll let them do their job. But to their credit, they are willing to listen, and they love to hear if you have input. And I just try to walk that balance lightly. And when I do feel like, you know, I think this makes some sense, I really would want to suggest it more as a question. Like, am I missing something? Can you help me here? What do you think? Teach me, help me understand. Because even if I do speak up, I'd be the first one to say, this isn't my area of expertise, and this isn't something I do on a daily basis.
Let's get back to the listener questions. I believe we've got a gentleman ready to ask Kirk a question.
Hey, Kirk, Jeff Souders from Fairfax, Virginia. Diehard Redskins fan and will be till the day I die.
All right.
Would like to also express my thanks for being just a great football player, but more importantly, just being a good dude and for being very open.
Yeah.
For being very open and outspoken about your faith. It's been a inspiration to myself and to my family. Can you share a little bit about how that helps you get through the rigors, the ups and downs of a challenging NFL season and working for such a dysfunctional organization?
Thanks for the question, Jeff. I don't want to proselytize here, and I don't want to offend anybody, obviously, but I will speak from the heart and say what I believe. And I often, after tough losses, have said, I don't know how you play in this league and play this position without that peace, knowing that at the end of the day, my life is in God's hands, and I trust his plan for my life. And he's going to lead me to where he wants me. And that just gives me a comfort when you are on the plane back from a tough loss against the Giants, you know, just a few days ago, and you're frustrated and you're down and you're regretting some things. And my faith is just my anchor in life, man. I mean, my life is built on that, and it just makes such a difference for me and gives me such a peace and an underlying comfort that when the storms come in life, and they're going to come to all of us, I just feel like my house is going to stand, and it's going to be able to withstand the storm because of that. And so it is a major difference maker, the major difference maker.
Next up.
Hey, guys. Kyle from Fairfax. Hey, Kirk.
Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Kirk. Kirk, by the way. If Bruce Allen was asking you a question, he'd say, hey, Kirk. Anyway, go ahead, Kyle.
I think a lot of fans noticed that it was a drop-off in wide receiver production, losing Garcon and Jackson. And I want to know, as a quarterback, which skill set do you value more? Garcon's ability to make those tough catches over the middle or Jackson's ability just to open the whole field up with his speed?
I think it's a tough question and a great question because great question. It isn't an easy answer. Pierre was so effective, like you said, in the intermediate game, and really he had the speed to go deep. We just kind of reserved that for Deshaun, so we didn't use him as much in that role. But like you saw against the Packers, he caught a post route, a long post route for a touchdown and ran past everybody. But you know, Deshaun could get you right back in a game. You know, if things were going south, you didn't feel like you had any momentum. I think a couple times the Cardinals at the Eagles last year, you know, you're down, you're not really getting anything going, and the next thing you know, you're back in the game because he gives you 7 points like that.
At the Giants, you guys are Giants down 21 game. To yeah. 9. You yes. had a 2-play, 75-yard touchdown drive where he caught 31 and then 44 yes. for a touchdown.
So those kinds of plays really make a difference. But then you look at third down, you know, this year we were just not good enough on third down, and last year or the last 2 years we've been a top 5 team in the league on third down, and I think a lot of that was Pierre was a war daddy on third down, and he competed, and he found ways to get open and catch the football in traffic and make plays that I think it helps. But I'm excited about some of the younger receivers we have and their ability to develop into that and become that kind of player in time.
Did you see some of that, not necessarily the same player, obviously. Deshaun's skill set, pretty unique. Not, they don't make many guys like that. But did you see some of that potential in Josh this year and maybe going forward, some of that take the top off downfield? If it's not him, and that's okay, it's just different skill sets. Is that something you think, hey, that's on my shopping list?
Well, I do feel that, like, if you were to say, you know, what does your offense need or what is it missing? These guys don't grow on trees, but if you can find somebody, whether it's late in the draft or maybe at the combine, a dark horse who runs like a 4.25 or a 4.31 or something, or does something, I don't know, a lot of guys run a 4.25, but something that's fast. You know, that's moving, like an Aldrick Robinson, a Brandon Banks, where you say, this guy's better is better than you're better. Like, he can fly. And I just know that if we call this route, you know, unless they double him, he's going to get behind the guy covering him. That adds an element to your offense that really helps. And I think that would be a piece that would be great to find if we can find it. And that's where you start to really stretch the field.
Did you feel like you guys lacked that in the second half? Because it seemed like, maybe I'm wrong on this, a lot of the stuff you like to do, short to intermediate, started to be taken away because teams are daring you to get behind us. And I don't know that you guys could do that.
I think the player who was meant to do that was Terrell Pryor, and he really got hurt in like week 2, and so it didn't really enable him to do that like he's capable. But he had that kind of elite speed, and we just got to go find someone like that, I think, because it does add a unique element. But I want to be careful, because like Josh Doctson got behind people, and he's still, and then the nice thing is if the throw's not perfectly accurate, he can make you right. And the ball doesn't have to be dropped right in the bucket because he's able to go get the ball and attack the football and make tough circus catches. So I think, he still very much can be that. But obviously, as you know, you'd love to have an embarrassment of riches and have two guys who can really do that. And now that's where you really feel lethal.
Kirk Cousins on Grant and Danny. Would you be surprised if you get franchise tagged a third time?
That's a great question because I don't know what I would think.
Do you think they're going to franchise tag you?
Hard for me to say. I don't know that I expected them to franchise tag me the first 2 times, and they did. So I guess I'll factor that in. I guess it comes down to the cap and all those things that I don't study, or understand because, I'd like to see what they do. I know I'd like to wait and see, and I think that's where it gets.
Well, react to this. Maybe this is a better way to do it. I think it would be dumb to tag you again, not because they're keeping you here, but because I think $34.5 million is an absurd amount of money. I just think that would make no sense. What's your reaction to that?
Well,
still a great question, or
it is a lot of money.
And what's the end game there? You know, I guess would be my point. In other words, a year from now, are you then more at peace potentially? Like, if they tag you one more time, and that means you're more likely to be here for the next 6 years, okay, that's an investment.
Right.
But if they're just paying you $34 million for another year so that they can pitch and catch 16 more times, what are we doing here, Harry?
I think those are the conversations that I think will still have to happen between now and that time in March. And I think those conversations will potentially influence their decision one way or the other. But, there'll be dialogue, and I'm sure that'll all get factored in.
So. But you're okay playing on another tag?
There's a part of me that would like to get settled. You know, there's a part of me that would like to get settled, but... I haven't really even gone there yet. I haven't thought about what if that happens, because that becomes, July is to where it goes out to. So haven't thought that far ahead. But, at the end of the day, and I've said it many times, but I do believe it, this league is one-year deals. I mean, it really is. Everybody signs these deals that are 5 or 6 years, but the teams usually have the ability to get out of them pretty quickly. So, if it is a one-year deal, that's just as good as you can do as far as feeling settled, because that's the nature of this league.
So what do you hope for then? Do you hope for that ability to get settled? Do you hope for that long-term thing? Or you've talked about you've spoken of your comfort on one-year deals before, and that viewpoint of you're always on a one-year deal because this league is it moves at lightning speed. In your ideal world, is it that one more year or is it that long-term settling?
Oh, I think eventually it's getting settled. I think you can only just kind of go year to year for so long. But I think that's why it's first things first. It's first, let's get away from the season a little bit. Then let's gather some information as to what the rest of the league is looking like, who's being hired, who's being fired. And you just keep kind of stacking up days on each other, gathering information that then leads to the next decision and the next decision, so that it's hard to make March's decision now because there's so many dominoes that will fall between now and then to influence it.
Let's get back to some listener questions for Kirk Cousins. For those of you who showed up here at Jam and Java, what do you got?
What's up, Kirk? I'm Brent. I'm from Leesburg.
Good to see you, man.
How you doing, man? Yeah. Sandeep, some of these guys took my thunder there, but I just want to echo once again how much I appreciate your integrity, what you stand for as a person, your faith. You represent our organization so well. What any organization would want to build their team around is you.
Thanks.
And I thank you for that.
Thank you.
My question really is two parts. Number one, it's more of a statement. We have a spot in my men's group in Leesburg for you to come join us.
I love it. So you know. I love it. I saw you on the Christmas Eve service. I don't know if you saw me. I was sitting behind you about three rows.
My kids saw you. My mother-in-law saw you. We saw you, man. but secondly, my prayer is that you stay here, that you're here because there's some stability finally. It's 30 years. This team, we need somebody like you. And you said you want to be here. I know it's a loaded question, but just to put all the naysayers at bay, you want to be here under the right circumstances, and what that is exactly one more time.
Yeah, sure. And under the right set of circumstances is those conversations that Mike McCartney will have with the Redskins between now and March. I may get involved a little bit too, but just trying to get on the same page and make sure it's the right fit. Make sure I feel like we talked about winning is so important, and I want to be excellent at what I do. I want to be associated with excellence, and as I've said, if I feel like winning and excellence is here, I just don't have a lot of reason to look elsewhere. And I'm a big part of that. The ball's in my hands, so I if we're not winning and we're not excellent, I got to look at myself first and foremost. But that's certainly what I want to be a part of and help build. And so if I feel like that's here, then I just don't, there's no reason to look around.
James from Falls Church. Kirk, since we're here at Jam and Java and they have incredible coffee, what kind of coffee do you like?
Oh, it's quite
okay,
a question.
Okay, another great question.
Yeah.
And a little easier to answer than some of these. So I just kind of became a coffee drinker in like the last year. I really avoided it. And I just drink it right now, just straight black, Don't do it very often, but in football, that's like the fuel of coaches and players at times is coffee, and it just keeps us going, and probably as it is with most people and most companies. But black coffee for me, usually not that big, just something small, and gets the job done. And then as the season gets dragging on, I go mocha. So then I mix in a little hot chocolate. As we get closer to the end of the year, it's just be a long year mixing a little mocha.
That's because you don't, like, you're the Tom Brady body guy, right? Do you even put like the cream
into
the coffee?
You know,
are you allowed to?
I try to avoid some things, so I try not to put too much in there. And I don't know that coffee tastes that great to me, so I'm not really drinking it for the taste. And it's more just something to have, something warm. So I don't mind if it's not the best taste, and that's okay.
Let's go back to our audience questions here. We got a young guy who's
got a Spartan.
Go ahead, buddy.
Question.
Hey, Kirk. I'm John Lindsay from Arlington, Virginia.
Good to see you, John.
Everyone in this room definitely would like you to stay for this season, but if you
that's pretty persuasive right there.
if you were to go to another team, what teams are looking at you, or would you like to go to for the?
Great question. I don't know who's looking at me. You know, I'm under contract with the Redskins technically until March something, so you're not allowed to go look around until then. So I don't know. You know, it goes back to winning. Wherever I go, I'm not going there to increase my portfolio. You know, I'm going there to win. And so, that's the factor. That's what you got to assess and look at in all the options.
Did Kyle Shanahan getting Jimmy Garoppolo and the way that Sean McVay and Jared Goff hit it off this year, they're about to play in a playoff game, did that hinder your market in some way? What's your take on those quarterback situations? Because I don't think it's crazy to say if you're testing the market and those two guys need quarterbacks, those would have been really good landing spots.
I don't know that it hindered the market. I think that those were two coaches that I had relationships with that I trusted implicitly and enjoyed playing for when I had the opportunity to play for them. So naturally, if they were destinations or available destinations, that you would, again, be thorough and go, you know, feel them out and research and gain an understanding. But, I think if it comes to it, you're still able to do that, you know, regardless.
We got more audience questions coming, and we've got more time with Kirk Cousins live on 106.7 The Fan at Jam and Java in Vienna. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.